my dear friends in Christ. Several things about today's gospel lesson might seem a little bit strange to us. In other words, different. Definitely not the usual healing scenario that we normally find in Scripture. And we might have a few unanswered questions. For example, first off, why would God choose to heal people in this manner, one person at a time, only after an angel comes and stirs the water in this pool? On the other hand, can't God do what he wants? This is the manner in which he chose at that time and place to graciously heal. And who are we to say that he can't or shouldn't? But furthermore, why is this place called the Pool of Bethesda? Bethesda means house of grace. And yet it's obvious that this is not a place of grace for everyone. Not for everyone. This man had no one to help him get into the pool. All fine and dandy for all those who had means to get into the pool, but this man did not. And so was it not a place of disappointment for him? Why did he have to wait 38 years? And possibly all those years watching and waiting while everybody else seemed to get healed? How could that possibly have been of any benefit to him? Wouldn't that just cause him to be jealous and angry and bitter and just lead him toward wanting to give up on life, if anything? And so we ask, why? Furthermore, why would Jesus ask him if he wanted to be whole, if he wanted to be healed? Isn't that pretty much obvious? He couldn't walk for 38 years, and Jesus asks, well, do you want to walk? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to not suffer anymore? Who in their right mind would say no? Perhaps the ultimate question that always seems to go unanswered: why does anyone have to suffer to begin with? Why? 38 years. And sometimes other people, they have to live an entire lifetime with some type of serious disease, maybe even paralysis like this man. Why? And maybe we should get this other part out of the way right now too. Can we not be honest and admit that we've all at times been angry with God? God, I hate you. I pray and pray and pray, and you don't seem to care. You don't seem to hear. You don't seem to answer. And the minute things start going well for me in one area, then something else goes wrong. You seem to take away my happiness the second it gets started. Almost like it's some kind of game. The minute I find success here, well then, someplace else I find disappointment and suffering. The Bible itself says, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. But maybe now we're finally getting somewhere, because this is the part where he says, gently, believe in me. Trust in me. No matter how hard the storms of life may blow and beat upon you. I'll be with you, he says. Trust in me, and you'll never, ever be ashamed or let down. Never in all of history has anyone ever been able to point to a promise that God has made and has broken. And this is his promise to you and to me. Anyone who believes in him will never be ashamed or let down or confounded. Everything in this life for us changes. Our jobs, our families, our friends, our relationships, all those things change. One thing doesn't change. God's mercy, his forgiveness toward us changes not. Christ is that one foundation, that rock solid foundation that cannot be moved. And those who believe in him are anchored safe and secure in him. So the question he asks is, do you want to be whole, body and soul? He says, believe in me. My grace is sufficient for thee. By grace are ye saved through faith. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, rest unto your soul. Contrary to popular opinion, there is no true rest in getting things, having things, flourishing in earthly things, even in physical health and well-being. If the soul has not yet been healed, then there is no true rest and peace in the soul. Christ came to make everything right between us and God, to provide everything, body and soul, that we need. He has the words of eternal life. His words bring rest and healing to our soul. Forgiveness, strength, new life, new hope, even to those who seem to have lost all hope. He says, be still and know that I am God, that your sins are forgiven, and eternal life waits for you. All things are now ready. He says, come, simply believe and receive. And we do receive rest unto our soul. So is life about constantly trying to avoid every single thing that might cause us suffering? Or is it about knowing and believing, no matter what suffering we face, God will be there for us and give us everything we need to get through it? He says, simply believe. Believe in me. What would faith be without suffering? Would it even be true faith if it's never challenged to trust in God during trying and difficult circumstances? What would the Christian life be without suffering when Christ, who already carried the heavier cross of our sins and provides complete forgiveness for all our sins, then he says, we too must carry our cross, whatever it may be, to accept the path God has chosen for us, the life and the circumstances that he gives us, no matter what suffering that might include. That is, he says, our ultimate good, according to His good and gracious will for us. We have to admit that sometimes we have the tendency to focus so much on this life that we fail to ask the more important questions about eternal life. How does all this fit into God's plan of salvation for me? For the man that had to wait 38 years, he surely suffered greatly. But was it without purpose? Or did it not all fit into God's plan to save his soul? What is of more value, the healing of the body or the healing of the soul? What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? More than anything else, Jesus came to heal our soul. The scribes and the Pharisees, they seem to have perfect health. Never do we hear of them suffering in any way, yet we see how utterly sick their souls are, that they cannot even be happy when a man sick for 38 years is healed. Their greatest concern seem to be to condemn Jesus for healing on the Sabbath day. How selfish and disgusting. Yet what is so amazing is that God's grace covers even their sins too. It covers every single soul. He says, only believe, and thou shalt be saved. His grace and forgiveness covers even those who put his son on the cross. Those who murdered an innocent man, not just any man, the Son of Man, the Son of God. That is where we find true healing, both body and soul, in Christ. In Him alone. Do we want to be whole, body and soul? No matter what circumstances we face, we still have a Savior from sin who freely gives eternal life, and we freely receive it through faith. He gives us the assurance our sins are forgiven. He reminds us He's given us that forgiveness in our baptism, in the Lord's Supper, because He went to the cross for us, because He rose from the dead. Since Jesus made payment for all our sins already, that means God is at peace with us already. That means our suffering is not punishment from God. It means every suffering we endure has a purpose, a definite purpose. God will always, always use it for our ultimate good, to strengthen our patience, our faith. It's also a gracious reminder that we are not here in this life forever. We're only here for a little while. And therefore, our most pressing need is to have our sins forgiven. Christ provided for that need by laying down His life, by taking it up again, and promising that we too will live. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God never promised that we wouldn't see times of difficulty, but He has promised to always get us through them, to always be with us, as He has already, and He always will. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passeth all understanding keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.